Good morning, and thanks for tuning in. You are tuned in to the morning show on this Wednesday, February 20th, and we're here live in the studios, and I'm Susie Prez, one of your hosts this morning.
And I'm the co-host sitting over here, Susie, Chris Bessler. How are you doing?
I'm fine. It was a beautiful morning to drive into the studio. I got to wear my sunglasses for the first time because that sun was coming up the first Wednesday this year. So yeah. I was pretty happy.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of a beautiful winter thing going on out there right now. The temperatures have been cold, but being cold keeps it kind of dry as well with all the snow we have.
Yeah, everything seems pretty fine.
Yeah. So we have an interesting show today. We have two different guests. We're going to be talking about two different things today. And first off, we're going to be talking with Mike Bauer from the East Bonner County Library about an event that we have coming.
Mm-hmm. Very excited about it.
Yes. It's called Digital Disconnect. It's a showing of a documentary, a new documentary that's going to be at the library next Wednesday. That's February 27th. And there's actually going to be a discussion, and we're going to dive into that in just a minute, what that's all about. And then the second segment, Susie?
Is with the folks that are organizing the Grad Night event. That's in June. But today we're going to hear about their biggest fundraiser for Grad Night and what it's all about and why Grad Night is so important to the families and the seniors in our community and how much fun it is, too. But they have a big fundraiser coming up, so we're going to hear about that.
And that'll be coming up around the bottom of the hour. So,
sure.
So hang on for that one. But first, we talked a little bit about the weather already, but what's happening out there?
Well, currently from the National Weather Service, we have 19 degrees outside. It's not too bad. And a slight chance of snow, like only 20%, so we can deal with that. High today of 32. If it's not snowing, I don't know what it means, but the sun is out right now. Tonight, we have a low of 15 with decreasing clouds, and tomorrow, sunshine. It just says sunny, high of 30. I'll take it. How about you, Mike?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It looks, you know, like winter weather still. So we were surprised by our February snow. Shouldn't be. It's just still winter.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Another 29, 28 days, but who's counting?
Some folks are definitely counting.
I think the folks on the hill up on Schweitzer are probably thrilled with this.
It's really turned into quite a nice ski and snowboard year, and I'll testify to that. And speaking of other things going on outside, up at Schweitzer, they've gotten 2 inches overnight. They've had about actually almost 5 inches in the past 72 hours, so they've been getting a little bit each day here. And they have a great base, 102 inches at the summit, 69 inches at the village. The skiing has been really quite good up there. And of course, out in the backcountry, the skiing for people that are doing cross-country skiing or doing backcountry skiing has been excellent as well. Sunrise this morning was at 6:46 a.m. It'll set tonight at 5:14 p.m. And over the course of the last week, we picked up 23 minutes of daylight per day as we get closer to the spring equinox. So that's why you're getting these longer days. You have to put on your sunglasses, Susie.
We did it. We made it through the dark parts of winter.
Every day's a little brighter.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention, if you were outside at all last night, you saw it was super bright, and that's because we were having the super snow moon. Technically, that's what it was called yesterday. It's the biggest super moon of 2019. They call it a super moon when it appears larger. The moon's actually closer to the Earth, given the slightly elongated orbit around the Earth. So it was 10% brighter than normal last night if you were outside.
I didn't know why, though.
Yeah, it wasn't perfectly clear, but it was like a high overcast, and it was almost like daylight out there. So that was pretty cool. Other things going on around town? Anything worth a mention, Susie?
Well, I do know that we're in the middle of the carnival, the winter carnival here.
Mm-hmm. We are.
What's going to happen this weekend?
Well, there's all kinds of stuff going on. There's some comedy shows. There's a beer festival and pub crawl that's on Saturday and around town at all the different pubs. Probably the coolest thing that happens in the whole winter carnival comes on Sunday, last day of the winter carnival. It's with a canine keg pull that iCarts puts on each year. And if you haven't been to that, it's dogs that are pulling kegs, and they're sized appropriately for the dog. So you get a little tiny Dotson, and he's pulling the beer can.
That's so cute. And it's over at, where is it located?
It's actually held now at, it's held at the Granary District now. So, and you can go by there in the morning. It gets kicked off. I don't have that right in front of me, but I think it kicks off at around 10 a.m. Take over the microphone here. Let me look that up.
Okay. I want to remind our listeners, and Mike, you probably know about this too. I'm going to ask, what's your favorite radio station?
Well, it's KRFY, of course.
Well, there's a local, it's called the Sandpoint Local Media Survey Out and About, and you can take that, and if KRFY is your favorite station, you can vote us as your favorite station. There's all other kinds of media that you can vote for, print media, things like that. But I'll just encourage people to go to KRFY.org. It's right on the front of our website. You can go right in there. There's a direct link to the media survey.
And I've completed that survey.
Well, so you get a star. Gold star. Right, exactly.
I think everybody in the room has, right? Susie, you have too.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I wanted to come back on the question. The iCarts K9 Keg Pull is at, registration is at 9 a.m. They start the races a little bit after that, and they run until about noon. That's this Sunday. It's at the Granary District there by Evans Brothers. So if you've never caught the K9 Cake Pull, go there. You can take your dog, too. You keep him on a leash, but it's a big dog festival as well. So it's an awful lot of fun.
Lots of yapping.
And it raises money for the Panhandle Animal Shelter. So it's a good cause.
Very good.
Yeah. And so there's that. Winter Carnival's going on. A couple other things worth a mention. There's going to be a... the big fire wiped out actually five businesses, damaged a couple others right here on First Avenue. That was just like a week and a half ago. There's going to be a event this Saturday. It's a live auction. You can bid on donated items, enjoy live music. There'll be finger foods and drinks. And that is called a Rise Above the Ashes. And you can get more information on that if you go to the calendars, get more information, all this stuff at carefy.org or sandpointonline.com. That's another worthy event to be going to.
There you go.
And with that, we should get on to the topics of the day.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Can't wait.
Well, Mike Bauer from East Bonner County Library, can you tell us about the event that's coming up next Wednesday, Digital Disconnect?
I'm excited because this is our first movie showing, at least the library's first movie showing in our new room. So it is 1,400 square feet, and we have four HDMI screens. And we have had really good response for the other showings that we've had in that particular room, and it is a good sound system, so it'll be a really good place to show a film. It'll be at 6 p.m., and then the film is Digital Disconnect, and it is from the Media Education Foundation, which is a very good source of the documentaries that we've been taking a look at. And this one came up, and I took a look at it and screened it for a number of months. It will be at 6 p.m. next Wednesday, the 27th, right there at the library in our great room. And it is a movie that questions and looks at the relationship between democracy and the internet as it's evolved over time, and the capitalism that has come in, and the kind of big business that has taken place within the internet scheme. This movie really brings into question that whole situation and the democracy question, and we'll bring in some real discussion points. It is one-sided, but we hope that both ends of the discussion will come in and be appropriate for that. So it will be a very good discussion. We hope that a number of people will come from both sides of that discussion, and it'll be quite lively.
Mm-hmm. So the idea here is that it's about an hour film, it's narrated by a professor from the University of Illinois, Robert McChesney, and he's a thought leader in this sphere, if you will, about how the internet is influencing society, and it raises a bunch of big questions. But I wanted to ask you guys, Susie and Mike, a question right now to frame this up. And the question is, so when's the first time you used the internet, Mike? Mm-hmm. Say, probably it was for sending an email?
I think so. What was the email? Actually, this film starts out with Katie Couric and Bryant Gumbel talking about email and the at sign and what that meant. And Bryant Gumbel was very, maybe you've seen it, but he was very confused as to what the at sign meant and what email meant and everything. And this was about 1990 when I started. Email, what was that? What do you do with it? And that's the way it started. And it was 1990 for me. Windows 3.1. And we started to use this. I needed some real instruction. There was a learning curve. We used WordPerfect, which was the other word processing program. And I remember the baud rate was 14.4 kilobytes per second, 14,400 kilobytes. It had that scratchy sound. And there may be some folks way out that still have dial-up. I hear that they have dial-up, but it's probably 56.6, something like that. So it's four times that. It was very slow. I remember being a weather geek back then, and I would load the radar, and I would click and load the radar, and I would go get a cup of coffee. Then I'd go get another cup of coffee, and by then it would be loaded, and I'd be able to look at what the weather was.
Yes, it's really changed a lot. The technology has advanced a lot. Now we talk about getting your downloads in megabits per second. Mm-hmm. Thousands and thousands of those little bit packets that get transmitted across the internet. Do you remember the first time, Mike, that you looked at a web page or your first introduction to the World Wide Web, which was kind of like the big next step of using the internet?
It was about that same time. I was one of the first users of Prodigy.net, which was an early ISP internet service provider back then, and one of the renegade ones that were back then, and yes, I was on a user net back then, and was on the internet, and one of the first chat room types of services back then, and the radar I talked about was a website, and I think yahoo.com was one of the first ones, and just took forever to load, especially if there was a picture.
It would take forever to load a web page up,
and you could load text only. That was an option. And many times I would just load text only, and it would have that alternate text for the photo, and many times I went that route.
Yeah. Susie, same question to you. Do you remember when you stumbled across the internet?
Not as good as Mike, but I do know that we were living in Eastern Washington in Cheney, and Tom was going to graduate school, and we went down to the student union and bought a Macintosh, this big, huge, boxy computer. Brought it home. I don't think we had the internet yet, but at some point in time, I remember it started accessing outside sources. And that was amazing to me. But just recently, I've realized how our minds have changed due to how we think digitally. Like you learn something new. Oh, I can do that. And my mind now looks for those little clues. You're looking for little digital clues of how to get into something, how to find something. And it has really changed our way of thinking. And I wonder about that, mm-hmm. actually. But it was a miracle the first time you did stuff
back then, yeah. So everybody in the room's pre-internet. We date to before the internet. If you're listening to this and you're a young person.
Libraries. And what are those card files, right?
I used
the card catalog.
As a graduate student.
Yeah. That's how I used to find things. Yeah.
Used some of the old search engines. And they called it Boolean searches. And there was a certain way you searched. And it was, a class that you had to take. A training that you had to take in order to do some of those searches. Now you just type a question and it comes up. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was introduced to the internet through my work. I worked in newspapers and in publishing, and that's first uses were back in the early 90s, I guess, as well, using email. But I do remember when I kind of came across the World Wide Web. Actually, the kind of the first incarnations that I recall were as in America Online, and that was this big service. And you still see some AOL email addresses out there. AOL kind of still exists. It's been swallowed up by another company now, but. It was at the time, it was kind of like a World Wide Web unto itself. You know, they controlled all the content, and there was all this talk about, well, you know, everybody can connect to the internet and make a web page of your own. But in the early days, everybody was kind of checking out these big service providers. AOL was one. CompuServe was another one. They had Microsoft started to get on board, and they had their own little ecosystem. But then the democratizing part of the internet was you could put up your own web page. And in my business, my day job, actually, it was kind of interesting. My day job is at Kiyoki Publishing, and we were publishing books. We still do publish some books. But I was at a book fair, and I'd read some stuff about the World Wide Web, and I'd been on AOL. But the idea of, you know, putting up my own web page was a little bit foreign to me at that time. And this was in summer 1995. And I was at a book exposition over near Seattle. And somebody had a couple booths down from us. It had all this stuff about the books, about the internet. And it had this big, thick, 3 or 4 inch thick book called the HTML Bible. Mm-hmm. and I just got intrigued with it. I bought that book, and I came back, and then I built a web page off of that in 1995. and we went live with our first web page in the fall of 1995.
That first web page, you really earned it.
Oh, my.
It was very rudimentary. I remember these big, and I was looking for it the other day, and I could not find our first web page. It's got lost in the mix of the thousands of files we have. But it was this big text with big yellow buttons, and click on this button to read about events in Sandpoint. So
you mentioned that you published books, and before the internet, or before even the digital ability, I mean, how did you publish a book? You typed it out, and how did you start out publishing books?
In those days, you did paste ups, and you used a typesetter, and you would set the type, and then you would paste it up on the page, and then the printer would take a picture of the page. From that picture, they would produce a negative with which they would make the printing plate. It's a photography based system. Actually, not to date myself too much, but my very first job, we had a printing press in the, this is in Bonner's Ferry, that they had removed the old hot lead printing press for the newspaper, but they still had a hot lead press in the basement that they printed to job printing, like business cards and so on. So I actually sat at a linotype and typed out a line of a hot lead.
Roll it out onto a big piece and then take it. I remember that, but you are old, Chris.
it's just kind of an interesting historical anecdote there.
But where have we gotten to?
Well, right. That's just it. So now the internet is this huge thing. It started with these real rudimentary little things to start with, but and we can kind of remember just, you know, we used email, or we saw a web page, but over time, and since the early 1990s, the internet, the web really came along. About 1993 is when it really started gaining some toehold commercially. But take a look at what's happened since then, since 1993. It's completely changed up the music industry. I mean, it eviscerated the old style music industry. Everything now is delivered by the internet and using MP3 format. And the idea that you have to buy a record, even a CD now, that's kind of old fashioned.
Yeah, sure is. We've got a few at the library, but you know, they're really becoming obsolete. It's all that way. In the dot-com boom, right, happened in the late 90s. You know, everything, all the small businesses came in, and then they all consolidated. They went out of business when the venture capital went out. And then in 2000, things really started to consolidate into larger companies. And then neutrality is really the discussion, part of the discussion that I'd like to have on Wednesday night. You know, that's been the more recent issue that's come up, and that is the throttling and the changing of the different speeds of various websites by some of the bigger companies, at which we're really looking at five or six big companies that control the internet now. And that's a big discussion. That's a recent issue that has come up, and net neutrality has been kind of voted down by the FCC more recently, which allows those companies to throttle or control the speeds of various websites that have come down. So so for example, Verizon, if they have a streaming service, they can throttle the website of Netflix, which is a competitor for streaming services, or YouTube or whatever else. So that
throttle means make it go slower so that the consumer gets impatient and wants to use another service, that maybe the company that controls that access can then use to their advantage. So net neutrality is a big issue. That's sure. One of the things touched on in this film. But the film goes into actually, as you mentioned, the way a big business is transforming the, I'd say, the potential and the promise of the internet. The internet's been seen as a very democratizing platform, whereas at one time, as we all remember, there was, like, on television, there were three major networks, and that's what you watched, one of the three. Now, with the access we have via the internet, there's thousands and thousands of choices of where you're going to get your information. And that can be very positive in a way, because it is democratizing. Anybody doesn't have to go through a gatekeeper to be able to espouse a point of view or report on something. However, it's given this huge rise as well to malfeasance, if you will, with fake news, people promulgating things that are just clearly wrong. They're just factually wrong. And then the other part of it is we are all dividing out into our silos. We tend to go to get news from sources that agree with our pre-existing point of view. And that's one of the things that the film really goes into, is taking a look at the way, the impact that this is having on the way our society is now dealing with big questions. And as you mentioned, Mike, the film is also it's really identifying these big players that are really controlling much of the internet in ways we don't even notice, and in ways that are insidious by surveillance of the way people use the internet right now. For instance, Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. So, yeah, very eye-opening film, and should really really instigate a lot of discussion and. We hope that happens.
Yeah.
I just want to ask, during this presentation at the library on the 27th, I think it is, will there be a time for discussion? Because so many people are thinking about this. I'm sure it's going to bring about a lot of thought. And so is there going to be an open discussion afterwards?
Indeed. And who will lead that discussion?
Well, you pointed at me a few weeks back there and asked if I would do that. And yeah, it'd be fun to come. And I've had a chance to preview the film, as you have, and the questions it raises are big questions, big societal questions. It does look at the influence of what it's terming capitalism on the internet, because in a capitalistic society, we have a tendency for large companies to gain an advantage. It's actually a thing within the free market that, as large companies gain advantage, they can become monopolies. And there has been, to this point, there has been no real government regulation of the monopolies that are taking place on the internet. Mm-hmm. And as you know, yeah. Mike, the film dives into that in a very heavy way.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. Indeed.
I was wondering real quick, Mike, what part of the library does this fall under? Adult education, further thinking about our modern world, but you are bringing in some really cool stuff.
Well, thank you.
And I wonder if how you decided on this.
Our mission at the library is to foster community discussion. We want the community to come together and discuss important issues.
Yep. And so, if you're out there listening to this, again, the event is coming up next Wednesday, February 27th. It's called Digital Disconnect, How Capitalizing is Turning the Internet Against Democracy. It's showing at 6 p.m. at the Bonner County Library. It's a one-hour film. It's not a big-time commitment. There will be discussion. I think we'll probably set it up with putting out a few questions in advance of the screening, watching the film, for people to consider as they look at it. And then afterwards, people can hang out and we can talk about, you know, our impressions of some of the information that's related in the film. And as Dr. McChesney in the film says, you know, among the many points that he covers, there are people that are skeptics of the internet and there are people that are celebrants of the internet. And among our listeners, hopefully, there are some that fall into both those camps. You know, you're a big advocate. You think the internet's a great thing. I hope you'll come and take in the film. Or if you're a skeptic, you think the internet is actually kind of doing damage to society now, hope you'll come and take in the film. And then we can have a discussion from all points of view. That would be my dream.
Yeah, my dream too.
And I'll throw in this, we are trying to arrange an interview with Robert McChesney. He's the narrator and the main man in this film. If we're successful in getting him, he's been traveling out of the country. I've been dialoguing with him. If we're successful in getting him, we're going to run a short clip next week, next Wednesday, the 27th, on the morning show here. So you could tune back in for that. It'd be great to have a conversation. Mike, I hope you can join the conversation with Dr. McChesney. If we can get that set up.
Okay, great. Yeah, I hope so. May I talk about another program this evening?
Absolutely.
Okay, it's our first Science Cafe session, and we're going to have one of these per month, and we're going to go forever. Tonight, our first installment is Beer 101, and we're actually going to have some beer samples, and that has been approved by the trustees and everything. So we're going to have a couple of brewers from McDuff's come in, and they're going to talk about, you know, the science of brewing. So Mac Dybel and Cooper from McDuff's are going to come in and they're going to talk about that. So it's going to be very interesting, and it's going to be at 5:30 this evening at the library, of course, same room, the large room that we have there. So come on down. And it's all started with me going into McDuff's one night and reading their menu and how all those beers are made. And I thought to myself, I don't know what all of this means. So maybe there's some other folks out there that feel that same way, you know, all the ingredients that go in and how they affect flavor and everything else. And I think it'll be quite fascinating.
I've often wondered how you get beer to have a blackberry and coffee flavor. They'll say it has blackberry essence at the end or something. And by gosh, it does. Mm-hmm. And you wonder, do they put blackberries in it or is it just the process?
The process creates the same compounds that are found in blackberries, for example. So they're not it's not flavored with blackberry juice or anything like that. So really a fascinating process.
Mm-hmm. So kind of like the digital world and the internet, it's magic.
It is magic. Yeah, beer making.
And that's tonight. It's called the Science Cafe. And it's called Beer 101, and it's tonight at 5:30 at the library.
That's right.
With beer samples.
Mm-hmm. And for those over 21.
Yep. and next week, the Digital Disconnect film, 6 p.m. on February 27th. I got to say, the library is doing great. This kind of community education and discussion that you're fostering is really invaluable. So good
Thank
work.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll just throw out there that KRFY is partnering with the library for an upcoming event in April 18th, which is Why Journalism Matters, with national journalist and radio show host, what's his name?
David
Barsamian.
Barsamian, yeah.
From Alternative Radio.
Who you hear here, how many days a week?
And it is on.
On.
Monday.
On night. Mondays. On Monday nights. So David, who you may have heard on Monday nights here, will be in town.
Yep. So, Mike, thank you so much for coming in. And by the way, we should just say thank you for hosting the 70s and part of the 80s every single week here on 88.5 KRFY.
I got a good gig. I had phone calls from somebody last week, and they said, oh, you've got a good gig, and I sure do.
The 70s was a sweet spot in music.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for coming in today and telling us. I hope you come in a lot and tell us about great things. Up next, we're going to hear a song, but just want you to know we have Cheryl Seifert. She's a parent of the 2019 Sandpoint High School graduating class and been working hard on the upcoming grad night fundraiser. It's called Red, White, and Bulldog Auction, and we're going to hear all about it. So right after the song, stay with us for the rest of the morning show. This is Steely Dan, My Old School. And that was Steely Dan, My Old School. And you're listening to The Morning Show right here on 88.5 KRFY. And we have our second group of guests in the studio. We have Cheryl Seifert. She's a parent of a graduate of this year, 2019 Sandpoint High School student. And you've been very involved in the fundraising for an important event that has been going on since 1974. It's called Grad Night right here. And we host this for our students in our community. And so welcome, Cheryl. I also want to introduce, we have two police officers. We have Officer Smith and Officer Bailey. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So hi, Cheryl.
Good morning, Susie.
And this is your second go-round with this fundraising for Grad Night. You had Alana. First you had Rachel, and now you have Alana. And so you're a veteran of Grad Night
Indeed.
Fundraising.
Sandpoint High School is a great place to graduate. And we want to help the kids have a great, fun celebration, something they'll remember for their whole lives. As they think about Sandpoint, as they think about their future. But a nice, safe, and sane way to celebrate. Mm-hmm.
So tell us, in case somebody's not familiar, what happens at Grad Night? What is Grad Night?
So they actually have their graduation ceremony in the afternoon and evening on Friday, June 7th this year. And then right after that, Grad Night begins, which is a party. And throughout the evening goes the whole night. And there's a series of activities that is fun and a variety. And they get to win prizes and come home with a bunch of fun stuff, as well as great memories. And the Grad Night auction that we're doing is to help raise the funds for that, to help get the prizes and such that they can keep and remember as a great winning.
I'm going to have you come over to this mic, Cheryl. For some reason, it's just not really coming through on that one, so just use mine.
Great, okay. Thank you.
One of the major motivations with Grad Night, it's not just for the kids to have fun, but to keep kids in a safe place. Officer Smith, you're the school resource officer?
Yes.
Why don't you give us your take on the importance of Grad Night?
As far as for the police standpoint and keeping kids safe, it allows the kids to, like Cheryl said, have a good time in a safe environment and get together one last time as a graduating class. Typically in years past, we have about a 90% turnout rate. I believe last year there was 185 seniors out of a graduating class of 230 and change. And the majority of those students actually stay the night and win prizes. And like I said, the students I've talked to, if they get to hang out together one last time before they go their separate ways, and they're not driving around going to parties and possibly endangering themselves and others.
Mm-hmm. And I recall I had a son that went through high school and did Grad Night. Once the kids get into Grad Night, they can't leave and come back.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And the purpose of that is to keep them from getting out on their vehicles and be driving around when they might have been overindulging.
Correct. Yeah. Once they're there, if they were to leave, they're not allowed to come back in. Majority, even of that 90%, I would say almost most of them will stay the night. They come in and enjoy themselves, win prizes, and have a good time. Mm-hmm.
So when you say that they come into the Grad Night, they're there, and they stay, what are the times? When can they go home? Is it 6 in the morning?
Typically, yes.
Okay.
And there's chaperones and adults there. Sometimes law enforcement is on site, and we go throughout the night and come check on them and go play some of the games with them as well.
I'm sure it's really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it takes some resources to pull this off. And specifically, it takes donations from the community, right, Cheryl?
Yes. There's some great individuals and businesses, and we thank you who've had children themselves go through the school system here, as well as folks, grandparents, aunts and uncles, just people who care that give the kids an opportunity. So rather than have the temptation to have a lot of parties at individuals' houses, it's one place where they can all be. They can hang out with their friends. And we try to really create it as something that's got unique and interesting things to do. So we do have a professional who comes and leads activities and brings some surprises, as well as things that bouncy houses. And one of the things that is pretty popular is like casino games. And with that, they earn tickets. And with the tickets, then they can go shopping for some really cool prizes. And we really appreciate the community's donations to help be able to get some awesome prizes for them to take with them.
And right now is the time that the community can participate that way. They can by offering to donate merchandise. But what's coming up really soon, this Saturday, is a pretty big fundraiser for the event.
Indeed. It's the biggest fundraiser to really kick off this event. And it's kind of the adult grad night, let's say. So it's an auction dinner, and there's a silent auction with wonderful things that people around the community have donated, as well as a live auction with some great opportunities for usually the live auction items are interesting excursions and places that you can go. And that is this Saturday at the Pondere Events Center at 5:00. So great meal from Ivano's, and we welcome everybody. The tickets are $35, and the more who come, the more who can have fun and can really help out.
And it looks like dinner is catered by Ivano's. There's a dessert auction. There's a no-host bar. Entertainment by the Sandpoint High Men's Quartet, and those young men are amazing musicians right there.
Quite good.
That's worth the price of admission, I'd say. And if someone does want to get tickets to the Grad Night fundraiser, how do they do that?
Well, you get out your pen and pencil right now, and the phone number 208-290-0327. I said that wrong. 208-920-0327. 920-0327. Or the email of sandpointhighgradnight@gmail.com.
And if you want to try to find it online, actually it's in the calendars that are on carefy.org for Saturday the 23rd. And you can link up to this information there as well. So check out the calendars on Sandpoint Online or on carefy.org. Let's circle back on the safety question here. Officer Bailey, can you tell us how big of a problem is it with kids that are drinking and driving in the community that this is aimed at helping get us past?
Obviously, the main thing is we want to provide a safe haven for the kids to go out and have a great time, make some great memories without the dangers of possibly being out drinking and driving and possibly getting hurt or hurting someone else. It's a great event. Since it started, we haven't had very much issues with underage drinking during this time period, and it just provides a great safe place for your kids to come and enjoy themselves.
Mm-hmm. The Sandpoint Police is active in reaching out to the schools to educate kids about the dangers of drinking and driving. Do you have other programs that you do with them, Officer Smith?
We do. We also put on, it used to be called Operation Grad Night years ago, but it has now just since changed to Mock DUI, which is geared towards grad night and also prom. And it's a year event that we put on for seniors only throughout the whole district. And it's mandatory to be able to walk at graduation that seniors need to come to this event. And it shows the dangers of driving impaired and the ramifications of that. So there's multiple programs in place that we're helping to guide juniors and seniors and upperclassmen to make better decisions and not endanger themselves by drinking and driving.
And some pretty graphic examples of, I mean, how horrible a wreck is when lives are taken as part of it, right? To drive home how serious this is.
Correct. It's very graphic. And it resonates and hits home with the kids and the parents as well. So between Operation Grad Night for the Mock DUI and also Grad Night to just keep everybody safe, the school district does a great job along with law enforcement to just have kids stay safe and make better choices, not drinking and driving.
Well, we really appreciate the fact that we have resource officers that are willing to go and talk to the students. You also want to invoke in them the idea of their responsibility to the person that they may injure. You know, of course, we don't want them to get hurt, but we also don't want them to have to carry that burden around the rest of their lives. So there's a lot of issues around alcohol and driving. And Cheryl, what kind of statistics do you have about, say, students, and if they were impaired with alcohol, what can they do to not get behind the wheel? Will they make that phone call?
Well, thank you, Susie, and I'm really glad that our resource officers are here, because I didn't realize they'd be here to help us with these real-life situations. But I remember my older daughter and graduation night, and she and friends, there was this reputation out there that there was going to be this house that everybody could go to, and there weren't going to be any adults there. It was just the place to go, and everybody was curious about it. I don't know any grad that didn't go check it out, but I do know a lot of them decided not to stay. You know, there was cans of stuff being passed around, and they decided, let's just head on over to grad night instead. And once, you know, it's that once you're in, and it was a good, wonderful, safe place. But the statistic of, you know, remember your own graduation night, and you're ready for the world, and you're out there, and what the heck, have a beer or whatever. And most teens, so the AAA did a research of surveying kids, and if they actually felt they were a little tipsy and had been drinking alcohol, how likely would they be to call home and ask for a ride? Very, very unlikely. So, you know, they'd rather hitch a ride with another friend, even if that person had been drinking, or they'd get behind the wheel themselves. So again, you know, this is the opportunity to just instead make a different choice, a better choice. And hopefully you all will come have fun with us and bring your friends this Saturday night.
So you have a big fundraiser coming up. It's called Grad Night Fundraiser. It's called Red, White, and Bulldog Auction. It's Saturday, February 23rd. It starts at 5 p.m. at the Ponderay Event Center. And, you know, the kids love to have their grad night party, but this is going to be a party for the adults in support of their students. So it's a great way to get those funds. What do you think it costs to put on a grad night? I remember when my son was a senior, it was a lot of money that we had to raise.
Well, hi, Susie. I'm not the treasurer this month, so I don't have the specifics. I was looking on the internet, getting ready for this, for what some of these can raise. Yeah. So the primary, a lot of this is donated, and what we can do with this money is go get the interesting, fun things. You know, we can get these dorm room fridges. Kids love that. It's such an amazing thing to win, this like refrigerator that they can take and have in their own room. But they cost some money, so. You know, my understanding is the goal is about $35,000, and I'm hoping that Saturday night will help bring in a lot of that.
That's correct. In years past, I mean, it ranges from $10,000 to $15,000 to $20,000 raised, which then can be donated to the students. And that's the greatest thing they like is, like I said, the fridges, dorm, essentials, different things that they can do. They hire the company for the games out of Spokane, and it's a set rate. And the rest of it is up to the parents to find the good deals on all these items, because the better deals you get, the more stuff you can give to the kids. So the more money that is raised, I think the kids will have a lot better time to be able to enjoy some of the gifts that are given.
Well, I remember when my son was there, they had some computers, they had some laptops. Those are pretty cool things for kids, too, besides refrigerators, of course. So we really appreciate your coming in and talking to us and caring about our students. I always think that even though my son is 32 now or 31, these are our students. You know, they're our community, and it makes our community stronger to have folks that care about all of the children. So thank you very much. Thanks, Cheryl, for participating, and Officers Smith and Bailey for being our resource people.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And this is 88.5 KRFY. We're ending up a little bit of the morning show. I'm going to put on a song, and we're going to come back for just a little bit of the rest of the morning show. This is a quick song. It's the Beach Boys, Be True to Your School. Stay with us for some community events. And that was the Beach Boys, Be True to Your School. And we just had two separate groups of people in for the morning show interviews. We had Mike Bauer with the East Bonner County Library talking about upcoming event on the 27th called Digital Disconnect. And then we had a parent and two resource officers from our talking about grad night and the big grad night auction that's coming up. And if you want to get a ticket for that, you can call 208-920-0327. Tickets are available, and you can support Grad Night, which is a big thing here and a really good thing.
Yeah, yeah. And that's this Saturday, the 23rd. And, of course, Susie, as always, there's a ton of things going on around town. There's it's Winter Carnival. There's a lot of events that are happening with Winter Carnival. I just actually counted through the things happening between now and Sunday, and just on the entertainment calendar, there's 32. So it's a huge number of events, but all kinds of fun things going on. To rattle a few off, tonight they're showing, in for the next couple of nights, A Star Is Born at the Panda Theater. Of course, that's a Oscar-nominated film. It's tomorrow night, it's Girls Pint Out at the Idaho Poor Authority, and McDuff's is having, tonight, McDuff's has Beer Hall Karaoke at McDuff's Beer Hall. Thursday night, Solo Series is happening tomorrow at McDuff's with Brendan Kelly, showcasing his talents from 6 to 8 p.m. There's a Sandpoint Community Sing on Thursday night as well. To read the little event here, it's community singing is the timeless ritual of coming together with others to co-create a rich musical experience through voice. This is a 90-minute weekly journey of songs about nature, life, love, emotions, gratitude, activism, peace, and the overall human experience. And that's happening 7 p.m. at Downtown Yoga. That's tomorrow, Thursday. That sounds pretty cool. The Carousel of Smiles is having an open house. That's for the classic vintage wooden carousel ponies that are being refurbished now to build a carousel here in town. That's happening Friday. Actually, there's also having the opening house on Saturday and Sunday at the corner of 5th and Cedar, that new building there that's waiting to be used for something really cool.
Lots of things.
A ton of other things going on.
You mentioned the keg pull, and I think that is really one everyone looks forward to. Those little dogs pulling a beer can, because they're that little. Yeah. That's really cute.
Or the big St. Bernard's pulling the full-on keg.
Yeah.
And they race down a little path, and they're racing for glory.
Glory.
Because they like their people. Yeah.
Well, I just want to let people know what's coming up on the morning show tomorrow. Host Jack Peterson, he'll be on his own, and his guest will be playwright Tim Behrens. He wrote the show My Favorite Toy Was Dirt. That's going to be performed at the Panada. And I just want to give a shout out to the Panada players that put on Drinking Habits. That was a great show. They did wonderful. So a little shout out to Becky Shoes, the director, and all of the actors that were in that last week.
I miss that.
Oh,
did you
my
go?
Gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It made me have a different feeling about my traumatic childhood in a Catholic school because it was funny.
Okay.
So I kind of came out of my trauma about that a little bit. So that's coming up. And next week on Tuesday, I don't know who that will be. It will be a surprise at this point in time. And next week, who are we having on, Chris? We're hoping to have a recorded interview.
We're trying to get an interview arranged with Robert McChesney, and he's the actual narrator of the Digital Disconnect film event that's happening that night, the 27th, at the East Bonner County Library. So we'll hopefully have that. And we'll also be talking with a couple of the folks from the Chafe Bike Ride, which is coming up, put on by the Sandpoint Rotary. They're going to be telling us about that event, which is coming up June 15th this year. But it's time to start thinking about in doing the ride. They have all different lengths. This year, there's something new. They're going to have a century ride. In past years, the rides have been 80 miles long or 150 miles, or there's actually a shorter 30-mile ride. This year, they're actually introducing as well as a 100-mile, so you can do a century ride. If you're one of the riders that have done the 80-mile ride, you kind of felt like, oh, I could go 20 miles more and knock off a century and have some bragging rights. Well, this year,
you're going to get the chance,
yeah.
Right? I want to let folks know about a special community podcast presentation that KRFY is hosting for the Bonner Community Hospice. Lisa DeFredis has been working hard putting together this four-week series. And last Monday, we had week one. And so next Monday at 8 a.m., we'll have week two of this four-part series. It's called Conversation on Living and Dying. She's brought all kinds of people into the studio, recorded these interviews, these conversations, and I have to say she's done an amazing job. This will be available as a group podcast on KRFY.org once the series is over. But tune in Monday, February 25th, for week two of this four-week series, Conversations on Living and Dying, presented by Bonner Community Hospice. That's a big thing. And we're just about out of time because I have a special song queued up. Do you have anything else you want to say, Chris?
Just that there's a ton going on in town. Go to our website, krfy.org, click on community calendars, or go to Sandpoint Online, which provides the calendar, sandpointonline.com, to see what's happening in town, get engaged. We've just been talking about the entertainment events. I said there's 32 of those between now and Sunday, but there's another couple dozen civic events that are dealing with public policy or chances to learn things. Always a ton of things going on in this town.
That is so cool. It's part of what makes us great.
Yeah.
So in 1977, the Grammy winner for Best Album and Best Song was Stevie Wonder, and here it is, I Wish. Have a beautiful day.
Yeah, bye now.